is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We had to do a little catching up on breaks, but boy, was it worth it. Kevin McHale, absolutely unbelievable. We've had him on before. He's a great guy. But the stuff that he gave us today on so many different topics, if you're a fan of hoops at all, the NBA or the Last Dance, my goodness, there was a lot there.
Yeah, it was that far exceeded my expectations. That was outstanding. So good get by you, of course, as always.
Thank you. Yep.
Your Rolodex is second to none. And man, that was great. There's a lot of podcast and tweet worthy material in that Kevin McHale interview. So we got to get that chopped up and out to the people. I made sure, Joel, even though I was live chatting and recording YouTube videos and all this stuff, I stayed up until 2:30 in the morning for you, just so I could watch both episodes of The Last Dance that aired last night. What's your one big takeaway from either episode? I mean, what was the big thing that stood out to you?
I mean, there was plenty. I think,
but if you had to pick one. Just for this Sunday. Well,
that's hard. I mean,
I'll go first. That way you can think about
okay,
it.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I kind of threw that on you. But I'll tell you, I think, remember Jordan was worried about coming across like a D? He kind of looked like a dick in this two episodes. I mean, it looked like he doubted Scotty had a migraine, and that right there was like, oof.
He did look like he questioned the migraine, no doubt about it.
Oof. You know, and then to just straight up say, I want the ball in my hands, I don't want Bill Cartwright shooting it, that's an awful teammate. Like, you may be the greatest player on the planet, but that mentality, that's an awful teammate. And it finally got around to him having to trust his teammates, but it wasn't because he chose to. He was forced to trust his teammates because the triangle offense became a thing. So that was my takeaway, is he kind of did look like a dick over these two episodes.
Well, if you think he looked like that, then they say episodes, and I think Dell said this, for 5, 6, and 7, I think Dell said it this morning, episodes 5, 6, and 7, people have gotten like the preview copy, have said those are the ones where he really couldn't come across more like a D-bag than. And that's what bothers him. So I guess maybe this is the precursor to that.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, there's a lot to still get to with Michael. But, you know, to me, there was a lot of things to uncover. Like, the whole Rodman thing, people don't understand. And I'm glad there was so much insight into that. The trip to Vegas was incredible.
Yeah, that was great.
And I hope that they
And by the way, Carmen Electra, oh, my God, still got it.
Oh, my God. Still got it, never lost it. I've told you, I was privileged one night to go out them, and just in person, it's one of those people that in person, TV doesn't even do her justice. In person, she's 10 times prettier. And so the
whole just stood next to her and smelled her like a weirdo, huh? You're just like,
I'm not gonna lie, I caught myself several times just gazing, going, oh my goodness, in terms of just altogether what God gave her, whether God gave it all to her or a surgeon, just remarkable.
Which is amazing because, bro, I don't know. I mean, I'm a heterosexual male, but I just don't think Dennis Rodman is all that handsome or good looking. But apparently, he can land Carmen Electra and Madonna when she had her fastball and her heyday. Like, Dennis Rodman must be a catch or something. I don't know.
Or he and Scottie Pippen sword fight. But
all that too.
Here's the thing that on the Rodman part of it. The one thing was the background on the Vegas trip. But the other thing that I noticed, and also had friends that worked on teams where he was, people don't realize how introverted that guy was. Mm-hmm. His escape from himself was all the antics that he did in public. But, like, he was literally a workoutaholic. I can remember games going into the San Antonio locker room, and everybody's trying to get interviews. And as you walk in the locker room, you had to go by the weight room. All the other players are in there doing media, and Rodman is in, like, this mad sweat of like doing massive sets of weights. And I looked at my buddy who I went to school with, who was the trainer of the Spurs, and I said, does he do that every night? He goes, every night. And Joel, he's going to be in there for 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Wow.
And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And he's like, no, I've never seen anything like it before in my life. He goes, and if he comes in and he's hungover or he's been out the night before, he somehow has a gear where he does more. And that's kind of what was highlighted when they were talking about that whole running drill when he came back and all that. I thought that was just amazing. And the other thing I can't wait now is, because like you said, Michael violated rules that was like the players' rules. Don't talk about their money. Don't, like in Scottie's case, letting the team down. Well, you're making $33 million and he's making less than $3 million. I don't think you should talk about another man's money and say who let who down. But then when he starts criticizing, like this one coming up this weekend where they talk about information about the team that was leaking out. And Jordan just flat out, everybody else was like, we're not sure who did it. Jordan flat out goes, well, that was Horace Grant. I mean, you talk about alienating a teammate that you want to go to war with you.
Uh-huh.
Man, there was a lot with all of that.
Yeah, I like the fact that the hatred between Isaiah and Jordan and Horace Grant and the Pistons and, you know, everybody kind of came out in the episodes too, because that was kind of cool. Because a lot of times you feel like the politically correct thing to say was, oh, well, we just, you know, we left it on the court and what happened. But they're like, no, I don't like that dude. I don't like that guy. And you and I actually talked a lot about that when we did the live chat. But that's I appreciate the fact that you can just go, nope, don't like that guy, and never will. And that's okay.
The hatred was real.
Yep.
There's no doubt, and I've talked to multiple people around that Dream Team, and I actually worked the actual Dream Team's first games when they had to qualify in Portland at the Tournament of the Americas. There's absolutely no question Isaiah, led by Michael and a few others, including Karl Malone, there is no doubt that that's why Isaiah Thomas was not on that Dream Team, because he should have been. And all his resume stated, he did everything, that he was one of the best players in the league. So there's that too. But also don't think enough about the fact that Clyde and Michael then developed a rivalry, a healthy rivalry. Before we had social media and a lot of cable coverage and all the live NBA games, and they resented each other because they were compared to one another. But because of it, Clyde almost didn't get on that Dream Team. And Clyde was one of the guys that they said got on because Isaiah did it. Along with they had the one college player, and it was Christian Laettner, and he had no business being on that team.
Right.
But Michael had the power of the commissioner times 10. I mean, and if he could sway you, or you know, if he said no, now you're, as a player, you're worried about it because you go, well, I don't want Mike on my bad side now either, because he had a lot of power back then that I don't think people realized in terms of stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was that was some great, you know, I mean, they didn't talk a lot about that, but obviously that's the backstory, the story behind the story. But I thought it was interesting, and this was the first one where there wasn't a great music montage either. I didn't like the song choices in 5 and 6, but you know what you're gonna do. It's still interesting to get some of this, but I'm ready to get more Mike. I'm ready to really deep dive on Michael Jordan, and it's not doing that.
Well, you got 6 episodes left, and I'm pretty sure they're going to get into it. One of the things that I thought of, if they were going to highlight the Vegas trip, they need to you know, Michael went off the deep end like Dennis, too, and people forget that. After his dad's whole deal, you know, remember now, he went to Atlantic City, and no one's ever got all the details of that. I don't know if they're going to delve into what happened to his dad or not and all the gambling, but I want to know how far down the rabbit hole they're going to go with a lot of that stuff, too, because Michael wasn't a darling. He was just the best player on the planet, and he turned a corner, because it's kind of like when LeBron decided to go to Miami and he became enemy number one instead of everybody's most beloved superstar. Michael had those early years where he was the underdog, and as an underdog, doing the things he did to the Celtics and all those teams, people adored him, and then they saw him kind of turn the corner and get a little jaded, and get a little salt. And there was really two different Michaels during his career.
Yeah, it's true, and you can kind of start to see him get salty with the media going through the whole Pippen thing. And the other thing that I found interesting was the transition from to Phil from Doug Collins. Doug Collins,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yep.
I found that to be interesting. And you could tell, and he didn't say it. He took the high road, I think. But you can tell Doug Collins knew that they were planning, they were grooming Phil to oust him. Because he just said, I had a hunch. And they're like, what do you mean? He goes, it was just a feeling. And I think he tried to take the classy way out.
And Doug Collins is a classy guy?
Yeah.
I always thought Michael was the guy that got pushed him out. But this gave me a new perspective because he was calling him Dougie. And, of course, obviously, if a guy's going to tailor make his entire team system around one player and it's you're going to like the guy. But to see that, that there was still such a solid relationship and it was always good, that warmed my heart because I like Doug Collins a lot. I liked him as a coach. I like him even more as a broadcaster when he was doing games. And so I was glad to see that. But you're right. It sucks when you're on the job to do a job and you know that they've already hired the guy that's going to be the next guy to do the job. That's the same way that he felt is how Phil felt when Tim Floyd is suddenly being escorted around for 2 years when it ain't over yet.
Mm-hmm. I will say this because you guys were, you know, you and Coach McHale who joined us previously, go check out podcastarena.com if you missed it because it was outstanding. But you guys were talking about a little bit how Phil was kind of a right place, right time kind of guy.
Yeah.
It to me, in the documentary at least, in The Last Dance, it portrayed him as a savant understudy, learning of Tex Winter, learning the triangle offense,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And perfecting it, and then implementing it. And I'll be honest with you, the theory of, look, Michael, you're never going to get over the hump if you don't start distributing the ball and getting your teammates involved, and the triangle is the way to do that. I mean, it kind of proved to be right because they started.
I thought you were
going
to say it kind of proved to be James Harden.
but it kind of proved to be right because, you know, you started seeing Paxton knocking down shots and he had that big game. And, Scotty gets more involved, and I don't think that's just by chance. You know, I think that's also because it coincided with Jordan trusts Scotty, Scotty trusts Jordan, but now you're getting the triangle offense. So I think it all coincided. But I think at the end of the day, Phil Jackson was right.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And I think that, you know what, it's what we always talk about with James Harden. That's what I thought you were going to say about when you heard all those things, you were thinking that's what James has to do more if he wants to get over the hump. Because we say it all the time.
That's such a good point, but I wasn't.
Well,
you know,
I'm the one that's always harping on the fact that in the playoffs, it's so much easier to scheme for a guy that has the ball in his hands a lot and is the most ball-dominant player on the floor. And that's what Phil got Michael out of that James hasn't done yet. And D'Antoni won't do.
I know we got to get to break in just a second because we have Sarah Barshop from ESPN.com joining us next to talk about the Texans and the Texans draft. But real quick, do you think a guy like James Harden watches this and goes, aha, light bulb moment, that's what it is, I need to trust people around me?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. You're hoping that's the case?
No, I'm saying, do you think he would?
I hope it's the case. I hope he would. I don't know if he's – that ego and those blinders are right now. But if you're a Rockets fan, you hope he sees that perspective.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to continue to roll on. As Barry mentioned, we're going to be joined next to talk some Texans draft with Sarah Barshop. She was on top of all of it with the Texans and their five picks. We'll break down some of that, maybe even some DeAndre Hopkins. We got to catch up. We haven't talked to her in a while either. It's a reunion day. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
The Usual Suspects, and look what today has brought. It's a reunion type of day. We catch up with old friend Kevin McHale early on. Now our good friend Sarah Barshop in the middle of the off season and everything that's gone on with the pandemic and otherwise. We haven't talked to her in forever. She comes in and joins us. So happy to catch up with you, Sarah Barshop. Thanks for joining us. We need to catch up on all that's good in your life, but hopefully you are healthy and you had a lot of work to do this weekend.
Yeah, finally. finally felt like since free agency for the first time we had some excitement in the NFL world.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously front and center NFL amongst all the different sports that have been put on the back burner and put on hold. NFL has capitalized with a lot front and center. But I guess before we go into the draft, and obviously Barry's got a lot loaded up on that, just your thoughts on everything with this DeAndre Hopkins situation, because everyone has an opinion. And obviously from the people that said you should have at least gotten a first-round pick from him, and the reason he was traded was either the contract, if you believe Bill O'Brien, or other issues, if you believe Michael Irvin and others. What can you tell us about the whole situation?
You know, I think it comes down to, just like we talked about with Jadeveon Clowney, you don't trade elite players like that. And, yes, there were other things going on behind the scenes. We've talked about how Bill O'Brien didn't like that DeAndre Hopkins wasn't always on the practice field. They didn't have much of a relationship as Hopkins told Sports Illustrated. You know, all that stuff, and Hopkins wanted a new contract, although as he told SI, he said he knew if he asked for a raise, they would just get rid of me, and that's what I wanted, which makes sense. But it comes down to, just like we said with Clowney, if you're going to, you just don't get rid of those players, and I don't understand how when you get rid of an elite player like that, it makes you a better team. Now, the second part to that is, if you are going to get rid of that player, you have to get the value in return from him. And I don't believe they got that in the Clowney trade, and I don't believe they got that in the Hopkins trade either. So I think there's two separate parts to that. One, I don't think you get rid of good players like that. But two, if you do, you better be getting either a first-round pick or comparable talent in return.
Sarah, do you have any sources inside that you don't have to divulge, obviously, but that you've been able to talk to get a feel for what the team thought about the move with DeAndre? Because I can't imagine that there were a lot of happy campers in that locker room, either on the team or on the coaching staff or otherwise.
Yeah, we actually just talked to Laramie Tunsil not that long ago, an hour ago, and he said that we were all hurt when we found out DeAndre was traded. He said, especially for him, DeAndre is one of the guys that took him under his wing when he got there. And he said, we understand that it's a business. We understand why it happened, but it still hurt to see a teammate like that be traded. That was really the first public comment to you, because we haven't really talked to many players. Certainly, and no one involved, you know, as big of a name as Laramie Tunsil, you know, as important as that locker room. So that was kind of the first we talked on the record with someone. Off the record, I've heard just, you know, players saying, I don't understand it. You know, why are we getting rid of him? But I think they also, for the most part, trust Bill O'Brien. But, I mean, he's one with them, right? So a lot of people I've talked to have said, yeah, it doesn't make sense, but we have to trust that Bill O'Brien has a vision for the way our team is going to be built.
Well, obviously that vision should include Deshaun Watson. And we know that, at least on the surface, it seemed like Deshaun and D-Hop were very, very close, and we've seen the different things of how he reacted when he first heard of the trade. How does this affect Deshaun going forward? And obviously, you know, O'Brien said they've had preliminary discussions on an extension. Could this affect him and wanting to stay in Houston?
You know, it would make sense that they would affect him, right? Because you see one of your best friends on the team, someone that you have so much chemistry with on and off the field, be traded away. Obviously, you have questions, but I think what sticks out to me is the way that DeAndre or Deshaun talked about Bill at the end of last season. After that Chiefs game, someone asked him about O'Brien's future with the club, and he could have easily said, yes, I support Bill O'Brien, I want him here. But instead, he went even further, and he said, he has my heart, and for as long as I am on this field, I want him with me, that kind of thing. So I think that just tells you, I mean, it felt very genuine to me. So that tells you that he very much respects Bill and the vision he has. And he might not agree with all of his decisions, but even though he was tweeting lyrics and I'm sure was not happy when the trade happened, I don't think this is going to brew into, oh, I don't want to play for you and I don't want to play for the Texans long term.
Okay,
so
that,
let's talk draft a little bit, Sarah. How do you feel the Texans did?
I think with the resources they had, with the draft picks they had, I think it was a good draft. I think they filled needs, especially with those first two picks. I don't know that anything they could have done would make me say, wow, what a great draft you had, just because when you don't have a first-round pick, I think that's hard to find that many impact players. But I think Ross Blacklock, they needed help. It's what we talked about last season. They needed help inside, some interior pass rush. So I don't know how much of an impact these are going to make. I mean, Bill O'Brien said himself that he thinks it's going to be a veteran-type year, and he doesn't think that rookies are going to have as much of an impact just because of the circumstances surrounding this offseason. And who knows when we're going to be at training camp or when the players are going to be on the field. But I don't think Bill O'Brien messed up this draft.
Well, what happened with the Lions trade? Did anybody find out all the details? Because one, you're never happy when something like that happens. Two, when you're quarantined in your house and there's a camera on you, it's not a good look if you've been scrutinized as much as Bill O'Brien has in the last 6 months.
Someone I talked to said that it was certainly more than the Zoom. He told us that he and Jackie Cerullo were just messing around on Zoom. I was told that it was certainly more than that. But that the person who said didn't think it was a big deal, that Bill was not curious, as it looked on camera. But I mean, I believe the general, John McClain, knows. He said that it was something with the Lions. The Lions, of course, said, "Oh, we didn't have a deal in place." But I agree. It wasn't a great look when you know you have the camera on you during draft.
Let me ask you this.
Were you surprised by?
Okay, go ahead.
Sure. Go ahead. No, go ahead, Joel.
No, I was just going to say one real quick thing because of the fact that it's also been rumored out there. Is Kenny Stills going to be a Texan this year? Because the rumors surrounding everything that they've done and finances and everything else is Kenny Stills is a guy that could be the odd man out.
I think that it might be tempting for them to cut him because of the contract holds no dead money so they can get out of the deal. But I think every team has ways to get around the salary cap if they really want to keep Stills. I don't know that the financial concerns are going to be what makes them get rid of him. To me, the fact that they drafted a receiver, a very fast receiver, not that I think he'll make a big impact this year. Obviously, wide receiver from Rhode Island has a lot of work to do before he can be an impact player in the NFL. But I think that does indicate that maybe because Fuller and Stills are in the last year of their contracts, that the Texans are preparing for life without them beyond next season.
Sarah, do you think it's going to be difficult for Bill O'Brien to win back the trust of the fans? I mean, they were doing some unprecedented things this offseason in the trade of DeAndre Hopkins and then having team meetings with season ticket holders. And then there was the rumor floated around that he tried to move up to the first round, which I personally think was just a PR ploy to say, hey, look, fans, we're trying to do the right thing. I think that he has... if nothing else, hurt his stature with the fans and the Texans have as a team. Are they in spin mode and can they recover?
You know, it's easy to say in the off season that they've dug themselves this hole, but I just think, like with anything, when the games start and if they start winning, I think a lot of this will be forgotten. And if this offense if David Johnson has a great year, Brandon Cooks has a great year, Randall Cobb plays up to that contract, you know, Deshaun continues to develop. If all that happens and on the field they're winning, they win the AFC South again, and maybe they make a playoff push, I think it's hard to say, oh, we don't like how you did it, but we like that you did it. We like that you've gotten us back to the playoffs. So I'm sure fans right now not happy, especially because we don't know when the season's going to start. There's so much, you know, there's not even off-season programming to look forward to as a fan, but I think that once the game starts, if they are winning, I think that Bill O'Brien will win the fans back.
You talk to the players a lot, Sarah. How much concern is there that the money's running out, that you made Nick Martin and Whitney Mercilus top six at their position players? Your kicker is a top three positional player, and now your left tackle just broke the bank on a deal that you knew was going to be huge because of the fact that there was no extension as part of the trade. Are the players and the people around the team concerned about the fact that these are some pretty suspect deals that have been gone in terms of the finances that have been thrown out?
Yeah, you know, I talked to one player who actually said that because of the way that the money and the salary cap goes up, he wasn't concerned. But I think there have been some eyebrows raised with the contract, some of the numbers. But at the same time, as a player, you don't want to say, I mean, you're happy for your teammates that are getting that money. So I don't know if it's as much as, I don't know about that money, but I think the concern is that, oh, I don't know if there's a future here, because if you look at the salary cap, some of those guys in their contracts probably have, like, I didn't talk to Zach Cunningham, but for instance, Zach Cunningham, you know, under normal circumstances, you would think the team would try and get an extension on within this offseason, and maybe they will. But when you look at the money given to Deshaun, that's going to be given to Deshaun, the money that was given to Laramie, like you said, Whitney, all those contracts, you kind of wonder if maybe he's the odd man out just because there might not be as much flexibility with that salary cap right now.
Okay. Well, you know what, Sarah? We appreciate all your insight. I hope you're staying healthy. I don't know when we're going to have football. I hope we have it on time or somewhere near it. But we know that if and when we do, you're going to be right there in the heat of it. So we always appreciate you being a part of the show and hope everybody with you and yours stays healthy as we get through these tough times.
Thank you. Hope you guys are staying healthy, too.
There you go. Sarah Barshop. Follow her on ESPN.com as she is the beat writer for your Houston Texans. You can also follow her at Sarah Barshop on Twitter. We'll be back with a whole lot more. I think Barry's going to be officially named our facility hygiene officer coming back from break. We talk about that and a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects as we roll into the second half of the show. A lot to get to still in the second half of the show. If you've missed any of the first half, you don't know what you're missing because you've missed Sarah Barshop on all things Texans. You missed Kevin McHale on all things The Last Dance and The Bad Boys and all of that and lots of other stuff. But, Barry, if I can for just a second.
Sure.
Shout out to our good friend Pink Valkyrie. I had no idea until I just saw something on Twitter. She has tested positive. She is going through hell right now with her lungs and a lot of the different symptoms that we all hear about and read about. She's living them firsthand. So all our best to a loyal suspect and a loyal ESPN 97.5-er in Christina Pink Valkyrie. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, babe. Just get better soon because that's terrible.
Yeah, man, that's disheartening to hear. It might be the first person that I know of directly that's gotten it, but yeah, that's
she's been highlighting what she's going through and her breathing and using the breathing machine and all this, and it's just wow. I reached out, was texting with her, and she was just like, yeah, and you know, and giving me how it happened. I said, please don't let it be sightseeing at Minute Maid Park. That would not be good because we give you a hard time about that. But the other one Nick brought to my attention, but. Rest in peace, Willie Dixon. If you don't know Willie Dixon and you've been in Houston broadcasting at all, then it's your loss because the broadcasting community in Houston suffered a big loss. Willie Dixon, cameraman at Channel 13, but we say this and throw the term around a lot, but he might have been one of the nicest guys on the planet. Just a super nice individual, always polite with those that he knew. He was extremely outgoing and helpful and, you know, and just treated you like family. He was just a fantastic dude, and unfortunately, he passed away this weekend. I know all of Channel 13 is reeling by the news, but everybody that was anywhere in Houston covering sports and other things knew of Willie Dixon, and he was a great dude. So rest in peace and thoughts and prayers to his family, because that's a tough one.
I saw that, and unfortunately, I don't recall having the privilege to meet him, but I tell you what, people all over our business, and I mean general, you know, media, not just sports talk radio, but in general the media, were singing his praises and devastated by the loss of what appears to be, like you said, just a genuinely good person and quality individual. So, yeah, that sucks, man.
Yeah, definitely. So shout outs all over and prayers and just a lot of thoughts from the heart there on those two individuals. So just wanted to throw that in there as part of the show today and not forget about it, because so many people are reaching out and talking about that. And also the whole Pink Valkyrie thing, I had no idea. And all of a sudden I just read a tweet during one of the last breaks we had, and I was like, oh my God. You know, and normally she's so active on Twitter that someone would have known, but I had no clue. So
wow. Now, what was this before we went to the break that you teased about me being some sort of?
Yeah. So
what the hell?
I think it absolutely fits you. According to Shams Charania and other people in the league, the NBA has informed each team that they need to assign one senior executive to the position of facility hygiene officer.
I just think that because hire me, Rockets. Hire me,
yes,
Rockets.
The way you do diligence on hygiene, there is no mm-hmm. question in my mind you would be an A1 facility hygiene officer.
Oh, man. Step one, James Harden, shave that beard. That is filthy. There's probably it's possible that it's harboring 19 different parasites and diseases. And then step two, no more sweating on the court. Everybody's got to – we're going to get special pills.
So instead of perspiring optional, now it's just – it's banned completely.
That's it. No
well,
sweating.
James has got it covered because half the time he doesn't hustle enough to play defensive sweat, so you're good.
If you sweat, you get fined. There will be no more high fives. Yeah, oh, I'm all over this. Are you kidding me? I was born for this.
Yeah, I would say if you don't get the job, they finally found a position Rafael Stone can fill over there. Facility hygiene officer is way better than executive vice president of basketball when we know Daryl runs the place. But I guess this is all leading to the fact that they said, and I'm sure you saw the announcement over the weekend, the NBA announced that if you are in the lower risk, and I think right now Houston falls into that category, cities in the NBA that aren't still battling to try and get the peak down of the coronavirus, that you players are going to be allowed to go back and start working out at the facility starting May 1st, which I believe is Friday. Mm-hmm. So I don't think people need to get their hopes up. The season's going to pick back up anytime soon. You heard some encouraging things from Coach McHale, but I think it's a first step, and any step right now is a positive, so let's hope that is the start of something to where we progress towards getting some games back.
Well, that is the first step, right? I mean, being able to, you know, now obviously, you know, teams like Brooklyn and I'm guessing Seattle, or well, not Seattle, what am I, Portland, because I think it was bad up there in the Pacific Northwest, but there are going to be a few teams that are going to be a little behind the curve, which is unfair. But you know what? That I think just getting that they need a sports in general, and the NBA needs a win, and so just getting people back to practice is going to be a win. Or working
yeah, I
out,
agree.
I should say.
I just you know, as much as I, and look, Tony is a friend of the show. Tony Niley, equipment manager of the Rockets, is like a little brother to me, and I'm concerned about him. He's got a family and everything like that, mm-hmm. and I just want to make sure that you know every last precautionary measure has been taken before we start letting, you know, people in, even if it's in small groups, start working out and they're on top of each other doing workouts and things like that, one-on-ones, two-on-twos, three-on-threes, however they're going to do it. Before they get to that level, I get like getting shots up with a rebounder and or working out in the weight room. But when we start getting basketball activities, it's pretty hard to not have anything other than, you know, just shooting drills. If you're going against a player, there's some risk involved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm encouraged, though. May 1st sounds like a good target date to begin. I haven't seen – so I think we got the latest numbers from our friend. Yeah, Mr. Green, Real D Green on Twitter. And it doesn't – I mean, it looks like in the U.S. there was a couple of dips, but it's still maintaining at a certain level of over – that's Texas, excuse me. It doesn't look like we're on the downslope of a curve anywhere yet. So,
but the governor and nationally, the lady with all the scarves has pointed to Houston as being one of the cities that have it under control, and it looks like they're in a good spot. I was unaware of that, too, because everything that I had seen was the curve hadn't peaked yet. We hadn't gotten to that point yet. But, I mean, maybe I'm missing something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I am encouraged by the fact that they think that we're one of the, you know, cities that's been handling it well. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we're spread out, and when we were told to stay home, most people did. And I think most people were down here. There's not a lot of idiots, and yeah, I mean there are, but it's not like New York idiots. Where I think if people were told to social distance, most Houstonians are polite enough to respect the people around them and do that. So I just think in general, Houstonians are always, when stuff like this happens, we're always a little better, kinder, nicer, and more intelligent about things than some of the other cities. So it doesn't surprise me that we might be leading the charge of big cities that are handling it well.
Now, she pointed out New Orleans too, and obviously New Orleans was the center of being almost the epicenter, aside from New York, in terms of cities that were really dealing with a lot of positive cases. So you hope that overall they're starting to get, you know, some control over this, but I just, you know, now that the fact that, and it's just Harris County, I don't know about you, but I don't believe that Fort Bend County falls under this yet, this whole you have to wear masks for 30 days. But I know people are pushing back and pissed off about that too. And if we do want to get back to normal, then it behooves you to kind of follow what they're telling you, at least short term, so that we can get rid of this and it doesn't go long term.
I love that Charles talked about this last night on the live chat, but it's like there's people that out here that are yelling for, why do I have to wear a mask? I'm not wearing a mask. I'm a free American. I'm not wearing a mask. But then they want hand sanitizer available. They want wet wipes to wipe down their grocery carts. They want, you know what I mean? Like, what is it? Either you're not scared or you're scared. But wearing the mask isn't just about you. It's about the people around you. It's about protecting yourself from them, protecting them from you. Like, it's about respect. It has nothing to do with – no, this isn't an attack on your freedom. This is trying to get the country back to normal and make this thing go away. The government isn't – this is like back when Obama was president and everyone was like, he's going to take our guns. Well, guess what? Obama never took anybody's guns, and the government's not taking your freedoms away because of the coronavirus. They're trying to fix it. They're not trying to fix it. They're trying to get over this hump and try to get life back to normal. So just wear a mask. It's not that difficult. You're still a free American. Wear a mask, you idiot.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, and I think that that's the thing. If you truly are bitching about the fact that you don't like being told what to do and you don't like being basically self-quarantined, then the easiest way to get rid of the self-quarantine is to just and it's not, you know, when you're eating, drinking, or driving the car, but when you're in public places and you're around, you know, where it's hard to social distance and or you still have to and there's a lot of people, just do it. It's not that hard, man.
Do it, do it, do it.
So just thought I'd throw that in there. And I do want to get to something if we kind of recap some of the interviews that we did today after the break. But I want to talk about some of the things Mikhail said, because one of them I'm going to call BS on. Because,
okay.
Yeah, there was one thing that I'm going to call BS from things he's told me that I want to bring to your attention, because I do think sometimes grudges last longer than he wants to lead on, but we'll talk about that. Lots more to get to during the second half of the show. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. Also, you can reach us on Twitter, where it's at Aaron is Blitzed, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And we would love to hear from you and have you be a suspect and be a part of the show. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health, because I've been telling you about them for quite a while. Is the main medical professional on board, and he is the best. And between O and David and the people in the office, they're going to make you feel like family. And that's what you want when you're going through a situation where you don't have energy and you think you have a testosterone issue or you need a little boost and you're embarrassed about the fact you have to talk to somebody about it. They're going to take care of you. If you're okay with being in the waiting room in the lobby, they're going to have you go through the regular process. If you want privacy, they're going to bring you behind closed doors and have you wait there in a waiting room. But the main thing is they're going to fix your problems, because whether it's energy for the gym or your family or maybe a little extra oomph in the bedroom, if you know what I mean, Apollo Men's Health has all the answers. It's testosterone therapy the traditional way, and with everything going on with the coronavirus, you can get pellet testosterone therapy. It does all the same things, but you don't have to go into the office as much. It's all part of the way they do. Everything they do is centered around improving your quality of life. Your health is your wealth. Invest in yourself. Call them, 832-664-9966, or go to their website, apollomh.com. You can book your first appointment online. Most major insurance accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders, and they're going to take care of you. Apollo Men's Health.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Hey, nothing like a little Foo Fighters in your afternoon, as well as some suspects, as Barry and I and Aaron Rabel continue to roll through and hopefully entertain you on a Monday in the big city. If you're seeing what I'm seeing, Barry, did the Texans just cut Tayshaun Gibson?
That is what I believe has occurred. I think Tayshaun Gibson has been cut by the Texans. I was actually just trying to pull up his contract info on SpotTrack.
Okay.
So I'm going to look that up. But, yep, it looks like – do we have a credible source? I'm seeing some stuff, but maybe like Scoops Berman, anybody like that breaking the news here?
I'm looking Sarah Barton as we speak to see if there's anything like that. I'm telling you, sneaky just intuition on my part. I got a feeling Justin Reed's going to be playing safety with his brother this year. I got a feeling somehow, some way, with all the moves that they're going to make, and he made the plea on Twitter – I do believe that I think that whatever they do at safety is going to involve both Reed brothers this year. At the end of the day, we get to that point. So we'll see what happens.
I feel like you may have an inside source that's giving
me
this info.
You're talking about. I just think that ever since he tweeted it, I had a feeling about that.
Mike Garofalo on Twitter is the one that has it. It's just a real simple tweet 25 minutes ago. Hashtag Texans releasing safety Tayshaun Gibson, source says.
I see it as well. Yeah, and Mike Garoppolo is obviously a reputable source. So with that, I believe it's true. Do you have you seen what he was making?
Yep. He was due $7 million this year and $7 million next year. So they cut him this year, and the dead cap is $4.25 million. So they save about what, $2.75 million in money. If they would have waited till next year, the dead cap money would have been about $500K. So you save $6.5 million. Yeah. So they
time is money, Barry. So that's why you make the moves you make now, and you pay guys in the top six at their position. It just saves you a lot of extra time later, but you also cost you a little extra cake.
Yeah. So I mean, hey, look, they eat the 4.25. They save $2.75 million, and I'm sure they'll use it and spend it somewhere else. But he was in year two of a 3-year deal.
Wow.
And it was funny because we talked about that last week going into the draft, where you were looking for safety help, and I thought, well, you know, Tayshaun Gibson is a guy they went out and really liked, and you know they had always had trouble covering tight ends, and you needed to replace the honey badger, and so you had all these things going on in the back end of that secondary, and you felt like Tayshaun Gibson was going to be a guy that kind of held it together. He was not going to be great. He's not, you know, all pro or anything like that, but you felt like he gave them good minutes when he was on the field. So I'm a little surprised, but if you're inclination that they plan on getting the Reed brothers together is correct, then okay. But the trick is this, Joel. Do you have faith that they're gonna save any money by making this move? I don't. No. They'll probably, if they do go out and get Eric Reed to play safety, they're probably going to spend like $15 million on the guy or some stupid number.
They're the anti-gallery furniture because in every commercial they make should be Houston Texans will absolutely spend your money because they're going to spend it all and then some in the way they pay players. And Aaron and I were talking about this in the break. I thought the Rockets fans were the ones that are just drunk on red Kool-Aid and the rowdies and all that. Boy, Texans fans are out there drinking the blue Kool-Aid in big doses. I got into it with a guy on Twitter. All I did was there's an
article.
Shocking, right? I actually should have gone after your boy Sam Rubio, but I held back because the suspects took care of that one for me. But I was looking at different articles and things, and I came across this article that was written that talks about the whole, you know, Bill O'Brien Tunsil deal and the fact that it's on the Ringer, and I retweeted it. So if you want to go to Pac-Man Joel, Danny Heifetz wrote the article, how Bill O'Brien's many screw-ups led to the precedent-setting Laremy Tunsil deal. So, as I do frequently, I retweeted the article because I figured we'd get discussion points. People would let us know if they're interested in their comments. I mean, this dude gets involved and starts going, you and this guy thinking this is ridiculous, and you should factor in. And so I'm already getting to the point that he's a Bill O'Brien fan. And he starts name-calling a little bit. I was like, bro, we're having a discussion here. I'm not calling you names. I'm just trying to figure out how your line of thinking doesn't see the logic in if you're going to give up as many draft picks as you did to get Laremy Tunsil, part of the deal includes an extension. And if it doesn't, then you don't pay as much. And this dude was just adamant, and he kept coming back, and he got all – so I said, you know what? Finally, at a certain point, I went, all right, let me just throw this out there. Where are you on time management, use of timeouts, throwing the challenge flag, and play calling as well as the Chiefs game? Just want to get your thoughts. And he didn't answer. And I was like, enough said, fam. So we get he takes a couple more shots, and he's like, I expect you to write a retraction to this article. I go, bro, for the eighth time, I didn't write the article. I wanted to get people's thoughts. I go, but I'm really, really kind of curious now. What happened to you answering my questions? And then he goes, oh, I didn't see this. But then proceeds to answer every question with we.
Oh, see, that's
and
right
I'm like,
there.
See, that block just solves
that dude.
It all.
Block yeah. that dude. We? Yeah, you're blocked. You're
yeah,
dumbass.
He went on
blocked.
He went
if you
on
can't
a
have an intelligent
festival.
Football conversation, get out of here. Like, you're just stop. And especially if he started the name calling. If you started the name calling, I would have just been like, cool. I would have been proud.
Yeah, he tried to say I was a member of Colin Cowherd's herd because when I said there what? Are a ton, I said, look, if you just think this is just me or, you know, because I said my listeners know my opinions and they know exactly where I'm coming from. And I didn't write this article, but they know I've been very honest about everything that I have to say about Bill O'Brien and the Texans. And he's like, oh, you were just like a member of the herd where you're going to tell me that, you know, people are on board with your. I go, listen, national, local, listen to guys on our station. Anyone that knows football is going to tell you the extension should have been part of the deal and so much more about Bill O'Brien. And he got so mad. And I was like, okay, bro. I'm going to go back to watching Colin Cowherd, which I've never watched. So
I feel like
oh, and he justified
has sexual fantasies about Toro. I feel like he's like, boy, I would hump that bull.
There's no doubt.
I would make
horny,
sweet,
he,
sweet love to that.
He wants
that
to
bull.
He wants to mix with the bull and the. He wants to get the bull and the horns.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one of his last tweets. Fairbairn, because I wanted him to justify the signings. Fairbairn led the league in scoring. Before well-documented holder issues.
Oh, my God.
Witt's contract, merciless for those that don't know him like this guy does. Witt's contract, essentially, 2-year extension, which allows them to find a replacement in a year while paying him top six. You don't mention that. Nick Martin was an eyebrow raiser, but also it was a short deal that allows them to move on in a year or two. Shut up.
Dude, you just argued with Bill O'Brien. You know that, right? Like, you literally probably just right, argued yeah. with his burner account.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
my gosh.
After I staged a tantrum and broke into his internet this weekend, I might as well take it to Twitter. All right. We'll continue to roll. I want to get to this McHale thing in the final hour because I'll tell you something that he's told us before or not, but it's worth talking about as we kick around the final hour of the show as we're flying by on a Monday. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.